All right. This is 9:10:23, Sunday morning. We're going to be looking at accommodating the spirit. You know, the things of this life, the things the devil brings, he is trying to get you to accommodate him, right? All the things that he comes against us with. But we're going to talk about accommodating the spirit. What is accommodating? It means willing to please, helpful, or obliging. That's what all our training has been about. Absolutely. As Christians, we walk in the Spirit. We do not accommodate the flesh. We don't accommodate what comes against our flesh. I mean, it's not easy, but that's what we're supposed to do. All right? We're not warring against flesh and blood. We are warring, doing our warfare in the Spirit. And there's where the battle is. It's between our flesh and the Spirit. What are we going to do with what the devil presents? We have a choice, don't we? After you're born again, you're considered dead. Think about that one for a minute. We're going to look at these scriptures right quick. There's two of them. Colossians chapter 2 is the first one. This is Colossians 2, verse 20. It says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world." I didn't look up rudiments. I don't know what that is, but I should have.
Elements.
That means elements? Okay. All right, the elements of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and all will worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Then he goes on in chapter 3 to say, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. See, if we're seated with him in heavenly places, then our view should be different than what's going on in the world, right? See, you're looking at things wrong, what the Lord told you. You're looking at things wrong. If you're seated with him, your view is different than if you're in the muck and mire down here. Set your affection on things above. Philippians talks about this is what you focus on and you'll maintain your peace. Lovely, good report, you know, there's a list. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Yeah. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. He goes on to talk about fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In other words, you don't get caught up and mucked up in this world and the way the people of the world are. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. What does that do when you get into that mode and you look at these things, you get angry, don't you? Right here. Anger. Put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's no argument when you say, I forgive you and I go on, is there? No argument. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Hey, sounds like Philippians, doesn't it? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell on you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So it's all about your view, isn't it? Let's just look at Philippians, since that's come up a couple of times. Philippians 4. Where are you? These tabs hide my books. When I don't rip them off, the last TV shoot I had, I ripped off Ephesians. Danny put it back together for me. All right. Right here, verse 8, 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So our peace, or not any peace, has to do with our view, what we're looking at. Now, I've had some things come against me, and I've, extraordinary over the normal. And Danny was asking the Lord about it and all the stuff, and I just told him, I said, don't you get it? When you obey God and you're over the target, you are fired upon. So that ought to tell you right there where you sit. That ought to tell you right there that you wouldn't, if you weren't bothering it, the devil and his ugly works, then you would not be fired upon. It's not about needing an answer. It's about, I already know. It's just all part of it. As good first class soldiers of Jesus Christ. So when you get that mindset that you will have to do warfare, that's just part of it. And when God speaks to you and you start obeying him, or you start speaking the things he tells you to speak, whatever that is, whatever he tells you to do, and you start doing it, you are messing up Satan's playhouse. And isn't it kind of naive to think that you would not get some feedback or flashback or whatever you want to call it? I wish you'd just say, hey, you win. You can have it. I wish that would be the case. But he's just insane enough to say, no, you're not taking my ground. You're going to have to kick me off. Like, okay, well, I'm going to kick you off. That's all I'm going to do. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force, not the people that give in to every little thing that comes against them, and their world just falls apart, and they fall apart. We should be acting like what we believe, not the circumstances, right? All right. Most of us are well-schooled in the senses. But when we become born again, another school of thought comes into play. It's called walking in the Spirit. All right, go to Galatians 5. We read in Galatians 5, I've read it to you many times, it tells you about the walk of the Spirit and the walk of the flesh. Verse 1 there says, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. What had happened when we became born again? We became free from this world system. We live in the world, but we're not of this world. We were given liberty to be able to be free. It's like, you hear people talking about, we need, talking about the Constitution coming back under common law and being free. How the bad people have kept us in bondage our whole life. Well, this is the way it is in Christ Jesus. All right, verse 16 there. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you could say it's like the old cartoon with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. You choose. You're going to walk after the flesh, or your circumstances, or you're going to walk in the Spirit. Whether you see it or not, you know what's true. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. It's a war. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So the flesh, Satan accommodates the flesh. He stirs up circumstances. Kind of like Elijah. And the Lord said, I'm not in the wind. I'm not in the earthquake. I'm in the still small voice. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. It's just all this stirring up mess all the time, trying to keep you. Satan lights a fire, just like Maui. Satan lights a fire. What happens? Everybody rushes to the fire. That's what Satan does. He goes around starting fires. What does that do? It gets you focused on the fire and not keep on walking in the Spirit and not deterred from what he's doing. Just think about that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So it has to do with what? What did you say, Jackie? Your view. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. We're not fighting flesh and blood. I don't care if they're standing there and you swear to it that every problem, my God, is you. That's not the truth. It's the devil. Now he wants you to get your focus on a person and war with that person, get you out of love, get you in strife, get you in the flesh, get you out of your love walk. But you just have to be like Jesus when he looked past Peter and said, get thee hence, Satan. You are an offense to me. You savor not the things of men, but or the things of God, but the things of men. Isn't that what he said? It's real easy to engage the flesh, isn't it? But to stay in the Spirit, that's a discipline. All right. I was thinking about Jesus and his temptation in the wilderness when the devil tempted him with bread and he was starving. When someone is starving, it's very painful because from what I've read, your body actually begins to feed upon itself. It's really a pretty horrible thing. The body will begin to consume itself. And that's what Jesus was to that point. He was in a lot of pain. Just simply not eating for so long, and now he is tempted to eat. Now, the rational thinking would be, we'll get him some food. See, the devil's a reasoner. Gets you to reason. He's there to reason you out of what God has said. Jesus knew what God wanted him to do, and he knew he couldn't do anything until God released him to do so. But the devil came and tempted him when he was not strong. He was the weakest he'd ever been. He don't play fair, does he? He targeted Jesus in his weakest place. All right. This is a place of testing. But he had to go through that for God to know that he could trust him, because he knew where he was headed. And that would be a lot worse than that. All right. Always seems to be someone come along. Have you ever noticed when you decide you're going to fast, somebody asks you to dinner? All right. And what I say to you today, if you see someone struggling, don't be too quick to try to fix it. Because God is overseeing what they're going through. You may want to jump in and take care of the situation for them, but you have to be led by the Spirit to do that, because you can interfere with God if you do. So I'm putting that out there because, I'm sure a lot of that's gone on. God's trying to teach someone. I remember a minister in this area, and I won't mention a name, but he was had a family in his church that were needy all the time, and he was always taking them groceries and doing stuff. And one day the Lord stopped him and said, "Would you quit interfering with what I'm trying to do?" So we need to make sure that we do give, and we do, we hear from the Lord, make sure it's the Lord before we proceed forward, lest we step in the way and get in the way. We want to walk in the way. We don't want to get in the way. We don't want to get in the way of what God's doing in somebody's life, or make a suggestion. Well, why don't you do this, or why don't you do that? Blah, 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 blah. Understand that? Okay. All right, Luke 4. Let's read about Jesus. Because, the Lord is wanting that person to call out to him. But if you're always there to meet the need or do whatever, then you're interfering. A lot of people, if you give them handouts all the time and do everything for them, they ain't never going to stretch themselves. They're never going to call out to God and say, "God, I need you. Help me. Show me what to do." I've told this before. I'll tell it again. One time I was asked to pray for somebody, and I was going to go home and spend several hours in the afternoon praying for this person. And when I went to prayer, the Lord said, "Did I not die for that person?" Yeah. He said, "If that person would ask me, I would do what he asked me. So you don't need to pray." That kind of changed my view about they don't have time to pray, but you do. You can take hours out of your schedule that's already full while they go do their whatever, their shopping or whatever, but they ain't got time to pray. See, I think church training has got us to that point that we think, well, our church has a prayer line. All I do is just call the prayer line, then I go about my business. No. No. We just need to avoid that. Now, if God, this is what I say. I'll pray in the Spirit, and if God brings you up, I'll pray it through. And that way, I'm not in the flesh trying to pray for this person and help carry their burdens. I know we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, but I believe that's in the Spirit. When the Spirit takes hold to get together with us, God brings up. Anytime I go to prayer, more than likely, I have someone come up to me and I pray it through. And normally, I don't even know what it's about. Sometimes I do. I don't go looking for it. The Holy Spirit joins with me. I've engaged the Spirit. He joins up and helps me pray through for that person or that situation. So this is not a flesh thing. We've made these big prayer lines and things. Is it really in the Spirit? Maybe some of it is, maybe some of it isn't. But what we do as the church, and what I taught this morning was about the fact that this is a spiritual house, not an institution that we go to have people pray for us or do whatever they need to. And I'm not saying if God hasn't led to have a prayer thing at your church, you do what the Lord tells you to do. But I'm just telling you, it's gotten people to where they don't pray for themselves. He says, you go in your closet in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. No, we got to share it with everybody. We got to tell everybody. Everybody we see, the trouble we've seen, and we got to ask them to pray for us. You hear that in alt media. Pray for Ray. Pray, 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 pray for Ray. Well, we got somebody. It wasn't enough. Pray for Ray. Pray for... I'm going... It just falls all over me. That's just flesh. All right, let's keep going. Luke 4. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Do you think if God led him there that God, he had whatever all planned out? How he was going to train his son? How he was going to intervene when he needed to intervene? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. A lot of people are going through what they're going through because they've been led there to learn some things. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. He's mocking him. That's a mockery. Well, if you're who you say you are, then do this. Ever hear them kind of people? And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. Is he telling the truth? Yeah, he stole it. Rightfully stole it, you could say. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, Thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all their and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. See, just step on out there in the flesh. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So what did he do? He showed up to trap him, get him in the flesh. What do you think he shows up at your house? Get you trapped and get you moving in the flesh. If he can keep you in that state, he's trying to stop you because he doesn't want you to take his ground. He knew who he was and he knew. I got to trip him up and trick him some way to keep him from tearing up my kingdom. Not any different today because we're sons of God and our main objective is to take back our land. I'm doing a study right now on inheritance. This whole book is about man's inheritance and getting it back. This whole book is about inheritance. It may end up being a series because it's so much. From the first get-go of creation, what happened? The devil took their inheritance. He's trying to take Jesus right here. He's trying to take it from each one of us too. Absolutely. All right. Most of us are used to treating our flesh like an old friend. See into our flesh. Well, you know, Matthew 6 talks about don't take a thought saying, what am I going to eat, drink, or wear? That don't mean go around naked. That doesn't mean starve. It just means don't put so much stock in what you're going through in your circumstances. Let your focus be the kingdom. Because that's why the circumstances are there, is to keep you focused on that. And not on the kingdom, not on the goal, not on the commission. Okay. Paul said this. This is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. As Christians, our flesh is crucified. Okay, we just looked at Galatians 5. This is verse 24 of Galatians 5. And they that are Christ were have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, that's how we get in the flesh, see? Wouldn't you rather avoid a fight? Just doing stuff. We've come too far in our walk to just do stuff. That's accommodating the flesh. We have to be led by the Spirit in what we do. So I tell people, I'm not going to ever tell anybody to not take medicine. But I said, you have to understand this call is about getting rid of the strongholds of your mind. That's not my call. But it's God's call in your life. And God says, yeah, go ahead. But then one day you might say, now you need to put that aside. I remember not one of the first, but a major healing that I received. Went to the Lord about it. Had been using natural stuff for a month and getting no results. And I spent several hours before the Lord. And the last thing the Lord said to me was, you're going to have to put that other stuff aside. Because I got peace that I was healed, but he said, you have to put that other stuff aside. So I did. I was healed. So that's me. That's what God told me. That's what he said to me in that situation. So we're to be led by the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit says to you, do it. Right? Mm-hmm. We're not here to judge anybody. But this calling and what the Word of God says, he wants to take care of everything. And I believe in the kingdom of God, we are going to walk by his way. There won't be any of that in need for Big Pharma. There won't be any need for MedMeds or any of that garbage. I believe with FCB, what he says, we were made creators. We can heal ourselves. And I know what he's talking about. We know God has put everything we need. The Godhead bodily is inside of each one of us. Healing belongs to us. God's already paid for it. It says, now execute it in your life. But God knows where we are on our journey, right? And he speaks to us accordingly. That's why we can't step in and intervene. We should not unless God leads. And we should not do anything that God does not lead. We've come too far to go back there. Some people, anything goes. They know nothing. They're all flesh and they don't walk in the Spirit. They don't know anything about it. Well, that's a different story for them, but not for those who've learned to walk in the Spirit. We're to accommodate the voice of the Spirit, not the voice of the flesh, and whatever he says for us to do. And there's no condemnation that those who live in Christ Jesus walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. If God's told you, that's why when you hear somebody say, well, Lord spoke it to me and nobody could beat it out of me. I understand that. There's things the Lord spoke to me that you hear just the opposite coming out of somebody else's mouth. I'm thinking, well, okay, that's fine for you, but I can't go there. God's already spoken to me the truth and nobody can take that away from me. Nobody. All right, James 4. Years ago when I went on television the first time, the Lord said, gave me, think about what you're thinking about. Why am I down today? What am I thinking about? Why am I such a good mood today? Because I ain't thinking about that other thing. That's why I'm having a good day. I ain't thinking about that other. I've been busy doing something else. Okay, 4, 7, and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we're thinking about what we shouldn't be thinking about. What does that do? Kick us out of that line of submitting ourselves to God, right? This is a decision which way we decide we want to go. It's really all up to us. We're leaving it up to God, but really it's not up to him. He's already done all he's ever going to do about any situation you have. It all has to do with your view. And what you decide to do about it. You can't serve two masters here. Isn't that what this is? We're either in the Care Bear snare or we're carefree. Oh, you know, most people today would say, oh, no, we can't let him starve. Talking about Jesus here. In fact, he'd probably go off and come back and it'd be a banquet table out there, you know. They just sided in with the devil, didn't they? To tempt him. No, we're to encourage each other in the faith. Not in the fear. All right. Just don't be so swift to slip in when you see somebody struggling. Unless the Spirit says, go speak that word to them. Go give them this. Go do this for them. Then do it. Have you ever done something and you come away thinking, should I have done that? If you question it, then you probably shouldn't have done that. Because when you know you're supposed to do that, you got peace. Peace makes the call, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, people would say, you know, but he could have died. No, he wouldn't have died. The Father was overseeing his training. All right, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's something the Lord has said to me and to Danny as well. Fear not, you're in no harm. This is a test. I know someone that I know, a friend I've known for years, she said, one day the Lord's, I heard this, this is a test of the broadcasting system. She's asking, what's going on, Lord? This is a test. Yeah. That'd mark you for life. Every time something would come, you'd hear that. I used to thought that was the most agitating thing. The emergency broadcast system test. Oh, help us, Lord. All right, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Does the Lord want us to labor to take care of our flesh? No, he does not. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 speaks about that. It says, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, the Lord's saying, don't labor with the flesh, because I see all, I know all. And when you stay in the Spirit, he can take care of it, show you what to do. Yeah. That's what the Word of God is for. It discerns everything, pierces. Right here it says, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what's going on. He knows it all. So why should you be struggling? He said, if you're going to labor, labor to enter into my rest. And I understand that, because with things that are going on, sometimes it's not so easy to rest when you're bombarded, right? Well, Hebrews tells us we should do that. When you learn the ways of the Spirit, you can go into a test or a trial and come out the winner. You won't be wondering what in the world's going on here. By now, you ought to be saying, par for the course. Or that's my thinking on it. I was thinking about the devil's kind of like Wile E. Coyote. He's always trying to trick the roadrunner. And it always backfires on him. The thing about the roadrunner, he's quick. I was thinking about the Word of God is quick and powerful. The roadrunner goes, neep, neep, and before you know it, choo, he's gone. And then the rock falls on the coyote. Just think about that. Yeah. That was one of my favorite cartoons. Neep, neep. We needed to say that. Neep, neep. Let his bag of tricks fall on him. Let him be trapped. And you unscathed. You're out of there. Psh, the word is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. The Lord talks to me that way. He'll talk to me. I remember one time when I went to Ohio, I said something about, it's like ragu sauce. It's in there. And I remember later the girl, she came up to me. She said, I just loved it what you said about the ragu sauce. You know, I get that. See, those jingles, those things that we have embraced into our brain, grew up under, hearing jingles on television. The Lord can use those things to get us out of those things. He does with me. He gives me analogies that people, we've heard that all our life, some quote from some movie or some stupid commercial. The jingle generation. Well, it was really they deprogrammed us with this stuff, or they programmed us with this stuff. Use what they programmed us with to be deprogrammed. God will use it. Like Neep Neep. I like the Roadrunner. Yeah. I feel sorry for the coyote, but I don't feel sorry for the devil. Not in any way. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Peter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, like what in the world's going on? I better call the prayer chain and have them pray for me. I just don't know what in the world's going on. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Then he goes on, don't let any of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So we need to be looking at, we're right on track, and we're being effective against the evil. It says, rejoice and be happy. You're on track. You're right where you need to be. Not boo-hooing. Not thinking, what in the world is going on? I better get to the church and see if the pastor pray for me. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first began at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. In other words, if you're suffering, commit it to God. Say, Lord, I refuse to care about this. I cast my care about this onto you. I'm just doing what you told me to do. Not hard, is it? It says rejoice. I just thank you, Lord, that you've made me and put me in a place where I'm suffering for your sake. Thank you that you're taking care of me. Thank you, Lord, that this is a sure sign that I'm right on track. Because the devil don't usually bother people who ain't doing nothing. If they ain't messing with his turf. All right, 2 Corinthians 11. Oh, sorry, 2:11. It says here, lest Satan get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. The word ignorant there means not to know or to ignore. Devices there is just a purpose against you, a device that he uses. So we need to quit acting like we don't know. We know. We know. We're right on the target. That's how we know. You're right on target. And it's just like in a regular army. If you fire upon the enemy, if you hit him, he wouldn't fire back. But more than likely, if you fire, you're fired upon, right? Okay. Enough said. See, we understand that in the natural. But in the spirit, we think, what in the world is going on? Get all down in the mouth and upset and grieve and cry and go through misery, don't enjoy our lives at all when we're supposed to be rejoicing. I'm going to be like Paul and Silas. All right, Ephesians 6:11. We'll do a 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. See, if you're looking at the circumstances, then you're trying to be strong in your flesh. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here's Wile E. Coyote again. Neep, neep. Yeah, I like that. Neep, neep. All right, go to James chapter 1. The scripture's full of it. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There's the goal to get you unstable. Double-minded. All right, go over to 1 Peter. Got a lot of good scriptures today. 1 Peter 4. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of rites, speaking evil of you. So, the suffering that we're going through, I heard somebody say this yesterday. It was a round table I was listening to. That the time we're going through is suffering. We're suffering. But what is it doing? It's purging. It's purging. All right. I'll just, right here, I already said some of these things to you. We have to call on the help. You didn't sing your song about the helper, but that was more about me, wasn't it? It's not? Well, I thought that was a... Okay. Well, that kind of sounded like the wedding song or the anniversary song. Anyway, we've got to call on the help. That's why he's there. That's why we pray in the Spirit. He helps us engage. And when we are under attack, that's where we engage in that. We have to. We can't do it in our flesh. Our flesh gets tired. It gets weak. But the Holy Ghost does not wear out. We've got to keep that in mind. All right, a few more scriptures. Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The next one is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I think I just read that to you, didn't I? No, I didn't. Not. It was
2.
Okay. Well, let's go to 1 then. 1 Corinthians 1. No, 2 Corinthians 1. Get it here in a minute. 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And rather we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or rather we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. See, it isn't that we're just supposed to suffer all the time. We're also to partake of the consolation. Ever heard of a consolation prize? I've talked on this before. What do we have for him, Johnny? I hear Sherry Ray say that all the time. What do we have for him, Johnny? Ding, ding, ding. The door prize, you know. Talk about the jingle generation, the game show generation. I used to watch The Price is Right and all of those, you know. Right here, trouble means pressure. Pressure for what? To get in the flesh? To give in. Pressure applied to your situations and circumstances that distract you and cause you to drop the ball or take your eyes off the target. We have a mission, and trouble is a satanic deterrent to get your focus from taking out the target, aka the stronghold. What is a stronghold? This is where Satan has usurped God's designated authority all through the Old and New Testaments. It has been about taking back our land. It will also affect your warfare life if you let it. I exhort you today to keep your eyes on the target and your intercessory prayer aimed there. Not on what's wrong with me, what's happening to me, what's going on, Lord, why, Lord, why, when, Lord, when, where, Lord, where. But what's the goal? What's the target? There's where you aim. Ready, aim, fire. If you're all over here, you're not going to take out the target. Quit letting the devil get you off the target onto all this crap. That's what it is. See, we're looking for the Holy Spirit to take hold together with us to pray God's perfect will. This is perfect warfare. You can't get any finer than that. Now you know why you got all this. That's why. Smoking, you know. Burn your engine up, I'll tell you what. Talk about smoking. He will have you chasing your tail. And I know. I've been there many times. I know it sounds funny, but it ain't it the truth? Just absolutely the truth. If he can get you chasing your tail, which you'll never catch, it keeps you from aiming at the target. All right, Romans 8. And that stuff, that wears you out. That'll wear you out. Because when you pray in the Spirit, it's like pumping iron. It will build you up. Sometimes after I pray in the Spirit a long time, and, you know, I'll pray at night sometimes, if I pray too much, I don't want to go to sleep. I have renewed the refreshing, the building up. I'm not saying don't pray at night. I do every night. But it's like that builds you up. It builds up spiritual muscles. All right, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to who are the called according to his purpose. So he prays the perfect will of God. As humans, we don't always know what to pray. We just pray water, anything and everything. But the Spirit, talk about on target. Perfect will of God. Isn't that what it's about here? The perfect will of God? What is going on in the Spirit is manifested in the natural world. Just think about what the black cats are doing all over the world, like setting the fires. Now do you see what I'm saying? Same tactic in the Spirit and in the natural realm. No, not there. Look over here. What happens when a fire started? Everyone runs over there and they try to put the fire out. By doing that, they lose sight of what they were doing prior. It's a distraction. That's what the enemy does. I remember the first Star Wars movie, and they had that big battle cruiser, and they sent out some, whatever they call the little ships, the little ones, to go and go down a certain hole. They had to send a bomb down that hole, and it would take out that whole ship. And I remember the commander kept saying, they were going, oh, this, that. They were all chattering. He said, stay on target, stay on target. And people were getting knocked off and shot at and exploding all around him. And he just kept saying, stay on target. Finally, somebody got one right down the hole and they accomplished their mission. See, distractions. That's the way the enemy does us. We're taking out Satan's battle cruiser, his whole network. All right. If you're having trouble, well, these are those fires to get you distracted and get your eyes off the target. It's just plain and simple. All right. I just read you 2 Corinthians 2, didn't I? All right. I'm not going to read it again because I had verse 11. What verse did I do a while ago? Okay. Then I don't need to go back there. Okay, now, Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6 says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. See, there's an alternative gospel going on in the church. The two masters are being served. One is fretful and fearful and no power, just doing works. And there's another part that's following the Spirit. Think of the two masters, care or carefree. All right, a few more scriptures and we're going to be done here. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 1. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. We're suffering because we're taking it back, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Oh, I love that. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wow, that's awesome passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, even as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Jesus said this over in John chapter 14. He was talking to the apostles or the disciples at that time. He was exhorting them to not be afraid. He starts off with saying, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know this the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us as orphans. Trouble here means to stir or agitate or roll, R-O-I-L, like water, kind of boiling water. Yeah. Okay, a few more. 2 Corinthians 7:5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. So here he's wore out. But he's heard that what he did has caused them to grow, caused them to get online. See, they got weary then too, just like we do today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting with 8. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us unto you. How does he do that? If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There you go. There's your view. If we're moving with the Holy Spirit, then I sincerely believe that He will speak to us ways to help us avoid some of the trouble if we're not too distracted. Yeah. He is the help in the time of trouble or possible. He'll show us how to avoid the trouble altogether. You know, I think that's possible. We don't always have to go into trouble. Sometimes He shows us a way out of the trouble. And I'm going to read a couple accounts there, and then we're going to be done here. This is Acts chapter 16. Starting with 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul. In the night there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So they tried to go into different areas, and the Holy Spirit would stop them and say, No, don't go there. Well, you know, I figured I'd be just as good a place as any. No, they might have got killed there because they didn't hear the Spirit. Acts 27. All right, start with verse 1 there. And it was determined that we should sail into Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entered into a ship of Adramyttium. We launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian, a Thessalonian, of being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. When he had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. When we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. When it sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh there whereunto was the city of Lycia. When much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fact was now already past, Paul admonished them, and he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only for the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth north toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. I guess that's how you spell that or say that. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to do by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day that lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be caught upon a certain island. So we know they got shipwrecked. They lost the ship completely, just like Paul said. And they were marooned on that island for 3 or 4 months. So what would have happened if they'd listened to Paul in the first place when they got caught up in the hurricane? So the Holy Spirit is there to show us ways to avoid trouble at times. We need to listen, not be so quick to dismiss it. All right. Seems that humans like to borrow trouble. I believe if we keep our eyes on the target, we will bypass possibly some of the trouble that Satan has targeted us with. Because see, it's that warning against the flesh and the spirit, you know. We want to make sure we're not adding to the plate we have been given, taking on burdens that we should not be carrying. To encourage you today, I will say this. If you're not being successful, you would not be experiencing the trouble. We could take it as a good sign that we are affecting the kingdom of darkness. The more we accommodate the spirit and ignore the flesh, the better off we will be.